Our 3-year anniversary, Tom's still not broken finger. And squirrel, stuff your mouth, stuff your mouth. Next on Tom and Hank Talk About It All.
Oh, hi, Tom.
Hi, should I turn the volume on?
Or? Yeah, that helped okay. A lot when I was in the middle of my...
I'm sorry, I have new glasses. I'm having a lot of trouble seeing.
No, you're not. You're having much better trouble.
Oh, I'm seeing better. I'm having trouble hearing.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
You know what I would like to say?
This is going to be a dud episode.
This is going to be a dud episode because here's
a
the...
A dud episode.
Here's the thing. No, it'll be great. You know why? Because there's a lot to talk about. I wrote down a bunch of things. Yeah. I believe that I am the cause of a problem. But first off, how do I sound? I feel I sound...
Did we check everything here?
Yeah. I feel good.
Did we chuck everything? Because remember, it said don't chuck it up last time.
It did.
You said don't there chuck it go. Up.
It's my headphones. That's what it was.
Maybe I should turn up the volume to the correct... spot before we begin. That way people don't hear the back.
The subterfuge.
Yeah.
Okay, so, there we are.
Yeah.
Okay. So, hi, everybody. So, here's the thing. 3 years ago today, on November 21st, 2017, Tom and I recorded our first episode of Tom and Hank Talk About the 80s.
And we have been embarrassed to share it with the world ever since.
And it is our lost episode. And it, do you remember... It was just about movies, right?
It was like a top 10 list of our favorite movies.
Oh my gosh.
But they were like random order.
And we just like threw them out. And then the first episode that we ever put out was recorded the night after, tomorrow, on the 22nd, and we released it on the 24th. And the reason that we had to record it back to back that way was because we had put out to our friends, we had started to get things out that we were going to be releasing the first episode on Friday, November 24th. And if you don't already know, I do have that Mary Lou Henner disease where I remember a lot of stuff to the moment. I can't do what people were wearing in a conversation in 1977.
How many times like I'll be talking to you about something and be like, I don't remember that.
Me?
Yeah.
That's not true. I'll say you were wearing black jeans and a black shirt, and we went here and did this and did that. And you'll go, gosh, you know what? I admire you as a person.
You know what? The Germans wore gray. You wore blue.
So it is our anniversary of starting this little dog and pony show.
So we're going to keep this one really, really short and wrap it up.
This little fake dog and pony show. And but we've also gotten a lot of feedback this week about last week's episode and coming back. And we just needed a little moment. And everyone is so cool. And we really appreciate it. And you guys always listen to us and come back, even after 9 months of being gone or two months of being gone. Everyone comes back and listens to us and downloads us. And I see it, and it's appreciated. Now, I'll talk about the problems that I have with you.
With me?
No, with the audience in general.
Oh.
That was a joke that failed. Here's what I like to teach you. I like to teach you high points of comedy, and then I deliberately give low points of comedy so you can see what the difference is.
Yeah, and then just skip the whole timing thing. That's interesting. It's all very interesting, everything that you've said today.
Also, we have a lot of new listeners, I know. And hello, not that I know. I know that we have a lot of new listeners. So hello, new listeners.
Hello. Thanks for listening.
You do what you do, and you do it well.
Yeah, I don't know. It was 3 years ago. It seems like it was. You know, most people go, God, it seems like yesterday. You know what? It seems like it was 3 years ago.
Yeah, it seems like it was 3 years ago.
Yeah, it seems like we've been doing this for fucking ever.
And we have. And we're still only on episode 88.
Well, we've taken like, what, a couple months off here and there.
We took 9 months off, and then we took a month here and there. Yeah.
Yeah, so you know what? You're all lucky that we're still here. Or we're the last vestige of...
Although, you know what? One Saturday coming up, I would love to do like our regular show, and then in the afternoon maybe do a live, because those were so fun when we were doing those live shows.
Well, everybody, so here's I got some feedback from a friend of mine in Finland, and she had listened to last week's episode and said that it feels like you're hanging out in the room with us, and that's what I hear that a lot from people. Mm-hmm. And so if we haven't really told anyone, I feel like we've maybe explained this before, but it's been a long time. And so for people that don't know, the concept of the podcast started from Hank and I just being in the car and conversations that we would have, you know, and like, and then it we were listening to, what was the one show that you liked? The one
we were listening to, Do You Need a Ride?
Yeah. And we were just talking about it. And so that's what. Explain what that is.
So Do You Need a Ride is Karen Kilgariff, who is co-hosts another podcast, like the number one podcast in the world, My Favorite Murder, and Chris Fairbanks. And so they've known each other for many, many, many years. They're very close, and they're both stand-up comedians. So the first... They've also changed as time has changed, but their first thing was they would take comedians... pick them up at their home and take them to the airport or vice versa. So Do You Need a Ride? So it'd be three comedians in a car just talking. There's no, very much like us now.
Yeah.
There's no topic. They just sit down and talk. I have no idea what we're talking about today. It'll just happen as a conversation. So we were listening to that, and we were actually listening to Chris Fairbanks describing that he had just received his mother's ashes in the mail, and he was afraid to masturbate in his room because he didn't know what side her eyes were on. And
I remember.
And that's what I'll always remember, that we were listening to that.
And then I was like, hey, we should make our own podcast.
And I said, are you in? Because I'll order tonight.
I could do that.
And I ordered mics that night. And so this is a fun thing for us. And we also know that so many people love it. And, but yeah, so we started very stringent that it was the 80s, because we won it. I'm glad that we did.
Well, so Jordan basically named it.
Yes.
Because we had the idea and the concept, but it needed a solid direction, mm-hmm. which it didn't have. And so Jordan was like, well...
all you do.
Why don't you guys just call it Tom and Hank Talk About the 80s, since that's all you guys do? And we were like... That's a stupid name. Okay. Yeah. And we did it. And then, but it's since changed since we came back to, you know, a lot of 80s because there's a squirrel in the tree.
Squirrel, stuff your mouth. Stuff.
It just swung by like freaking Tarzan. Oh.
Like, once again, you guys are welcome because... because I don't know your lives, but like, I bet a lot of you are like having a down day, and then you get to hear this. This is priceless.
I mean, I listened to it myself. Like, I listened to like a half of an episode, and like, I'm like, oh, it's pretty funny. They're pretty good. Like,
no, we're good at this.
You know, like I do. I listen to it, and I'm like, it cracks me up, and that like I want it to be funny. You know, I want yes. to.
But we also have our serious times, and I think those are some of our best times too. You know, but so when we started this, we were so like it was the 80s, and we did lists. It was lists. It was. We pick, you know, sitcoms, adventure shows, movies, music, whatever it was. We each pick like three or four, sometimes five, and we would switch off and do these. This happened and then this happened. Yeah. I did that a few weeks ago. I did one of those about somebody and I was like, ugh, it just doesn't flow.
Yeah.
And we know so much silly and wonderful stuff that, like, we don't need notes. Sure. Are all the facts going to be there? No, all the facts aren't going to be there. And if you want facts, you should not be coming here.
We got that one feedback from that one dick on the Apple Play thing where he's like, oh, you guys better get your facts straight. You're funny, but get your facts straight. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what? You called us out on one fucking mistake? Like, go fuck yourself.
Hey.
And you know what? And he did.
I would doubt he listens to us. I will say, you just mentioned that your friend in Sweden.
I don't think it's Sweden.
What did you say? I'm sorry,
friend. I believe it's Finland.
Finland. And so here's the thing. So like when we have friends who then go, oh, you have a podcast. If you start to meet people or, you know, especially like on social media, it's so nice to be able to chat with people and you get to know people and or through work or whatever. And then they say, oh, you have a podcast. And then it's like my heart stops.
I know. I'm like, ew.
And I'm just like, oh, God, no, please. No, you don't. Should not listen to that. And I get so embarrassed when you say, oh, hey, my friend in Finland started listening to the podcast. And I'm like, oh, my God.
I know. I'm like,
oh my God, no.
I'm like, what did I say? What did I say? Like,
yes.
Like, because of course everyone has, you know, various facets to their personality and their image. And so people, you know, might look at my Instagram photography page and be like, wow, that dude is like, takes some fucking dark photographs. And then, you know, you can look at my other page and it could be, you know, Disney records and bright bouncy colors and cartoons and Mickey Mouse and stuff, but like I totally lost my train of thought. And that's another fun thing about the podcast
is that there's train of thought losing.
Yeah.
There's tangents. There's tangents inside of tangents inside of tangents inside of a mind wandering.
And then you get lost in that.
And then you get lost in that. And then you see yourself as a wee child.
Speaking of wee children.
Okay. Exciting.
So I mentioned a Disney film that I watched the other night, a live-action Disney film. I think it's from 1960 or 61, called Gray Friars Bobby.
Oh, yeah.
And it's an old Scottish tale about a famous dog. And it's like the opposite.
Wait, what's it called? It's called Gray.
Gray Friars Bobby. They call him Laddie. Laddie. The whole time. I don't think they ever call him Bobby, except for the little kids. Booby. Bobby.
Is it Friar like a oil fryer? Nope. Not like a fry. It's like putting a fries in a fryer.
G-R-A. No. No. Dogs. Dog fryer. Gray Friar, it's one word. G-R-A-Y, F-R-I-A-R-S,
B-O-B-B-Y. Oh, it's one word?
Yes. Anyway, it's a
famous
Gray Friar
dog. Bobby.
Yeah, so what happens is, it's like the opposite of you know, Old Yeller, where the dog dies and breaks everyone's heart. It's the guy fucking dies. The owner dies. But it's a crazy movie because it's super, super... Well, first of all, it's all filmed in Scotland, you know, in like 1960. So it's got that really weird 60s film quality to it.
Yes.
You know? And it's like these beautiful, lush scenes of like the Scottish Highlands. But really, it just looks like gray and brown blobs in the background.
So what's the story? So but you said it's a real dog, right?
It's a real dog. And so...
Okay, because I just found a statue of it.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, and so what happens is the guy dies. He ends up dying, and he's very, very old, the owner, and he's very, very old, and he dies sort of in a very, very, very depressing way. He gets very sick, and they're like, you need to go to the doctor, and he's like, I'm not going to the doctor. I'm not a pussy, you know, fuck you. It shows how weak you are, and I'm a man, and I don't go to the doctor, and... You know, people go to the infirmary and they never come out, I tell you. They never come out.
Is this gentleman standing on a Capitol steps right now
in
America?
Basically, essentially. And then, yeah, really, no kidding. And then he ends up getting kicked out of the house because he's sick and he won't go to the doctor. And then he wanders the streets with his dog all by himself. And then he checks into a really nasty little rental place. Right? This is like in the 1700s. It's the Victorian era. It's the 1860s. And he ends up fucking dying alone, like in this old dark stone room. And like the innkeeper comes to wake him up and she's like, you know, wake up, old Thomas. And he's like, and he's just, it's like Disney, what?
And then Mickey Mouse comes out of his pocket.
Yeah, Mickey Mouse comes out of it. But, and then what ends up happening is the dog... They buried the guy, and then the dog watches over his grave for the next, like, 20 years until it dies.
And what is that like a time lapse, or is like the rest of the movie just the dog sitting there?
It's just the dog sitting there staring. It's really boring.
No soundtrack, no nothing.
It leaves to like scratch around for some bones and then like...
And you just hear that?
Yeah, you just hear a little whimpering.
Oh, God.
It cleans its butt and then it's over. The credits roll. Roll credits.
Anyway, and here's roll
the thing.
Credits.
Here's the thing. It's not a good movie. It's not an entertaining film.
It sounds like what's that guy who made The Seventh Seal?
Yeah.
Like, what's that?
Ingmar Bergman?
Yes, it sounds like a Bergman film.
This is the type of film where, like, it's like a Sunday morning and you're 6 years old and it's pouring rain outside and the power's out and it comes on just long enough for you to watch the one channel that you get, and that's the movie that's on. And you have the flu.
And it's just a dog playing chess for an hour by himself.
You're wearing the zip-up onesie PJs with the footsies, the little rubber footsies on the bottom, and the little snap on the top. And they have a bunny on the side.
So at least...
They have a Greyfriars Bobby on it.
Well, you told me this week to watch a movie, and I did. I watched it yesterday, and it was so cute. It was a Disney movie that sometimes I get surprised by the new Disney movies that you like.
Yeah, yeah.
Because some of them, I'm just like, well, obviously, he's not even going to know what that is because it's a smaller one, or, you know, so this
I've
one.
I've watched most of them.
You have, and you like a lot of them.
I like a lot of them.
But Meet the Robinsons is what you had me meet. Oh my God, watch. And it was so good, and it was cute, and it was sweet, and there's a twist, and it is really wonderful. And I love how they say, what does your dad look like? And he says, Tom Selleck.
Oh, yeah.
And then at the end, when you finally hear the dad's voice, it's Tom Selleck's voice.
I love that. Yeah, it's a cute movie.
But there's a lot of, and the last like 3 minutes are just like, oh, oh, oh. And it's just, it's really good. And it was well done. And it was like quick hour, 35 minutes.
Yeah.
And, but really, it's
got that cool retro future.
Yes, and it shows...
It's like 50s future, you know?
And it shows what kindness and thoughtfulness can do. And it shows what... you don't have to know... All the things that you think you have to know in order for you to feel better about something, you don't have to know those things. You know, there's a moment where he decides not to do something. Because he knows it's better. You know, he makes the better decision. Like, I don't need to to know this. I don't need to see this for myself. I know what my life's going to be, and I know that I can make it good. And so I think it had a lot of really subtle and cool messages.
Yeah, it's about family and origin and identity and where you fit. And I read, I don't remember his name, but I read about the director just because I was curious. And he did... his name is all over Frozen.
Oh.
He did a lot of like story editing or things like that. He's had his hands in a lot of Disney, a lot of the really good high quality Disney films in terms of writing. But I believe that's his only film. That may be his
directing.
Yeah, I believe that's his only directed film. It's a great movie.
And the characters are cute.
Yeah. They're very likable.
And Lewis, I think Lewis is the name, right? Yeah, Lewis. He's so cute, and he has got, like, spiky blonde hair, and...
It's based on a book called Wilbur Robinson. The artist. I can't remember the name. I looked it up the other day. Anyway, it's an adorable book, too.
And also, I think I talked about this during the first few weeks of the quarantine. I watched on Disney Plus a... documentary about the making of Frozen 2. And it's a 6-episode series, you know, when it starts like a year away from the release date, but they've already been working for a year on it. and so that's really interesting. If anyone has any, I watched it all in one day. It is fascinating to watch a film directed by not only a female director, but she is also the head of Disney Animation as of right now, and kind of was taking that role over as she was directing one of their biggest blockbusters of all time. It's really, really interesting. And this guy is featured in that. I just looked at his picture and he's featured in that.
Okay, that's what I thought.
And it really looks, you look at how many weeks it takes to work on 6 seconds of footage.
Yeah.
And you're working on this 6 seconds, and someone over in this office is working on the next 6 seconds.
It's interesting in that way, it's not that much different than original animation that I've learned from reading about Disney film history, and in that how animated films are put together, and that certain people do certain scenes and certain characters, and other people do, you know, the other thing. What's interesting, so what you learn, and everyone, I've mentioned this before, but everyone needs to read Natalia Holt's Queens of Animation, The Untold Story of Women in Disney Animation, who basically helped change history and in terms of what they put into Disney Studios. But it's a fascinating book. But what you learn is all the different processes of animation, and that includes, you know, things like sound and music, sound effects, and things like that. How sound effects were created, and it's just so fascinating. It's such a great book. But in her book, the last few chapters are about Frozen 2 becoming, being created, and the legacy of the women in early Disney animation that led up to the head of Disney animation now being a woman.
Kathy, I want to see her name. Kathy Kathenstein, head of Disney animation. I will get the real name. But yeah, and that's so interesting. Like, also Queens of Animation right now by Natalia Holt is on in paperback.
It just came out in paperback.
And ready to look at. But now another one you watched this week, and I'm so happy you did, because it's one of my favorite Disney Pixar films, is Monsters University.
Oh, that's a cute one. That's a really cute one.
I love Monsters, Inc., but I loved Monsters University way more. I thought it was a better film. It's so much more fun. They knew what to do.
Yeah.
They, you know, we knew these characters from the first film being great, too. But, man, this one is fun.
It is fun.
And Billy Crystal and John Goodman are so funny. But the rest of the cast, because they go to a Monsters University to be scarers, to get a scaring degree. And they join a fraternity of misfits. But every misfit is so good. Stephen Root, Charlie Day, I can't remember her name.
The girl from The Thing.
The girl from The Thing.
The one movie.
Well, wait, the mom is played by Edie McClurg, right?
I have no idea.
So there's, and it's just like they race against these other houses, and all the other houses are very distinct, right? It's like the jockey monsters, like the gross, like fraternity jockey monsters.
There's the one scene with like the little devil girls.
Yeah,
cheerleader sorority girls, and they're in there, and the one guy looks over and he's like, good luck in the race. And they're looked over and they're, we're going to devour you. And he was like, what? And they all go, and their eyes start glowing and they have fangs.
But they have to, and Helen Mirren is the dean. And she's really mean and so good. And that voice out of the perfect character that was, you know, made for her. And it's so fun. I want to say that the head of Disney Animation, the director of Frozen and Frozen 2, is Jennifer Lee.
Okay, yeah.
And a very powerful person in the entertainment business.
And then I just wanted to mention before I forget, I did talk about my new glasses. And I love my new glasses. And I'm really happy I have them. And I can see. And they're like everyone. Well, they're not. But they're like that 50s, 60s.
They are. Black frame on top.
Black frame on top. Some people might say that's like the Malcolm X sort of style.
Yeah, like the
glasses,
wire on the
like
bottom.
Like the wire on the bottom. And they completely changed how I feel lately. Like I as soon as I got them last week, actually, I think as soon as I got home, they were in the mailbox when I got home.
Oh, they were. They were. You didn't have them last week.
But man, I was so happy. Yeah, I was talking really far from the mic.
Me too. I don't know why. I'm sorry.
There. How's that? Anyway.
Oh, hi. Hey. I'm sitting way back by the wall. Happy Thanksgiving, but, everyone. Like,
I don't know. I my other glasses just were making me feel old, and they didn't go with my style, and they didn't go with, like, any of my style at all. Like, my vintage, my suits, my, you know, my hats and stuff. Every time I put the glasses on to take a self-portrait, I was like, I don't want to take this picture. And I stopped doing self-portraits because it wasn't... Because I wear glasses so regularly now that it wasn't expressing who I felt.
Yes.
And so I stopped taking photographs. And so I got my new pair and I started taking. So I'm going to do some more self-portraits coming up.
Well, also, like, you know, everyone says, like, the big thing at this moment is, you know, normalize men having emotions. Normalize men liking accessories and accessories helping people feel better about themselves.
Yeah. Normalize everybody fucking off. Go fuck off.
Hey, normalize. That's what I say. Normalize going up to a child and saying, and who the fuck are you?
But I think, no, I agree. I think
you're a little too close. I was too close too.
I think we should be doing that. I think we should be saying that to kids.
Hey, the best thing that ever happened to me was when I went up to an adult when I was lost at the fair, and I remember distinctly, because it was the only time I've ever said it, I remember distinctly saying, hey, mister, and pulling like eyes on a thing, and he goes, yeah, kid, what the fuck do you want? It made me grow up. It made me who I am today. And you know what? I don't know, man. I'm walking away. Bye. And I found my parents eventually, and everything was fine.
And then you woke up gay the next morning.
And I woke up gay the next morning.
So there was this customer who came in yesterday, and this one, I forgot to tell you about this.
Oh, boy.
So this lady comes in, right? And she's one of these people that looks like a, well, she looks like a turtle. She is like this tiny old lady wearing like a mask that's like half covering her face and like her eye and like big glasses and like a hat that's like pulled like a baseball hat. And like she just looks like this like weird, and I was like, okay. And she comes in and she's like, oh, hi, blah, blah, blah. Hi, how can I help you today? Well, I'm just looking for books. Okay, well, let me know if you need any help. You know, you look familiar. You've been here a long time, haven't you, is what she says. And I said, oh, me or the store? And she's like, no, I mean you. I recognize you. We've had conversations before. And I was like, oh, that's nice. Leave me alone. Is what I'm thinking. Get the fuck away from me. I already don't like where this is going. And she's like, yeah, you helped me one time with a battery. And I was like, no, I was like, I don't think that was me. And she's like, no. I am in need of help again. And I was like, oh. Well, many years ago, I was able to get some high school boys to come and to help me with my battery. And so the battery weighs 30 pounds, and I'm not able to get it up and out of the cart. So you've helped me before. I'm wondering if you can help me. Do you know where a teenage boy I can find to come to my home? And I was like... Inside voice was like, lady, are you fucking out of your goddamn mind? Get the fuck away from me.
I'm not going to, A, engage in this in any way.
And so I said, well, I'm very sorry. I don't know any teenage boys. And she was like, and then she started to talk, and I'm sorry, you're crazy. I don't need to fucking engage you. She started to talk, and I said, I don't know, and I walked away. I just left her standing there. I'm sorry. It's all right. But you're fucking crazy. Okay. Get away from me.
Here's another thing. Normalize not going up to people and say, I need you to tell me where teenage boys are.
I was like, what is this even? No. And then she's like, well, maybe the boys at the car place can help me.
Okay.
And I was like, maybe. I don't know. I've never helped you. I've never seen you. I don't know what battery you're talking about. I don't know what boys. Do you think I'm a teenager? I'm 50 years old, lady. I mean,
you do look good.
I look fucking great, but I don't look like a teenager.
No, you don't. You don't.
I look better than a teenager.
Speaking of not being a teenager, do you know whose birthday it was this past week?
What?
Do you know who's Michael...
Oh, Michael Theodore Mickey Mouse? Yeah. And Minerva Mouse? Yeah. They turned 92 years old.
Yeah, Mickey and Minnie. Their Mickey birthday and Minnie. Was
this week. They were born on the same day.
And I had no idea their name was Michael and Minerva Mouse.
Yeah, isn't that cute?
Yes.
Well, initially, Mickey's name was going to be Mortimer. And that's the name that that Walt came up with. But then his mom and I think Lily and his wife were like, Mortimer, that's his dumb name. Mortimer ended up being a Mickey, like in the 30s, Mortimer ended up being a Mickey rival. And so Mortimer was a big fucking chumpy asshole and always tried to take Minnie away from Mickey. But they're just so fucking adorable and they're so cute. And they started in 1928. It was November 11th, 1928. They started the studio. Walt had created Mickey Mouse, but he wasn't the only artist for Mickey. Not everyone knows that, but his friend and co-creator of Mickey Mouse was a guy named Ub Iwerks. And he essentially was the artist for Mickey Mouse for a decade and more. And not only that, but Ub Iwerks did a lot of stuff with Disney at Disney Studio in terms of animation and music and stuff. But anyway, a funny story that I read recently was Ub was very irritated that Walt didn't ever draw Mickey Mouse. And so one night at a party they were at, and someone came up to them and they were sitting at the table together, Ub and Walt, and they said, hey, you know, handed Walt a piece of paper and said, hey, can you draw a Mickey Mouse for us? And Walt took the piece of paper or the napkin or whatever it was and pushed it over to Ub and said, you draw it. And Ub took the pen and threw it down on the table and got up and walked away. Anyway, but a lot of people don't know that Walt did the voice of Mickey Mouse from the very first episode of the Silly Symphony, from the very, very, very first Steamboat Willie, all the way up until like 1950 or 52, he did the voice of Mickey Mouse.
Wow.
So every time you hear Mickey's voice in all those cartoons, it is Walt Disney doing the voice.
It's, oh boy.
Yeah. And a lot of people said Walt really was Mickey. He really was. That was like the character that was inside of Walt. That was the, that was his strongest traits, you know, the fun and the, he was a complicated man, but anyway.
We all are.
Yeah, I know.
Speaking of complicated things, so earlier today when you were here and we were just, you know, chilling, having some coffee, a couple of eggs on some toast, you said...
That's what we call ourselves. Just a couple of eggs on toast.
Just a couple of eggs over here on toast.
I'll have avocado in mine.
And you said, gosh, you know, like coming up on a year that I had that little New Year's get-together. That was kind of the last time there was like a gathering. It's up on a year.
Sean and Danny and Nina and my friend Evan all came over for New Year's Eve. And then I had a... My house was all decorated, mm-hmm. and it was just the most beautiful, tranquil, pleasant cocktails, food, friends, no masks.
Yeah, but...
But then...
Then, early on in the party, your best friend, that's me, who was sicker than I've ever been in my whole entire adult life.
With COVID about to be 19.
And we do feel like every single, you know, I'm sure, I know we've said this before, but I feel very strongly that we had COVID 19 in, so I got it on December 30th. I was sitting in this room right here and I looked at Tom and Brendan and said, I'm getting sick, you need to leave. And then the next night, I brought over what I would like to now call plague cheese.
A delicious heaping plate of pie cheese.
I was very sick, but I said, oh no, I have that cheese plate for you. I didn't make it. It was sealed, but I brought it over and then Tom got very, very ill. And now I think you need to do like tracing and find out who else got sick because I know I transferred COVID-19 cheese into your home. Happy New Year.
Thanks. Yeah. It was a great way to start the new year. I got sick and then, Connie died a couple weeks later. Mm-hmm. And then I went out on a date with a crush that I've been carrying a torch for too long and had a nice, normal, pleasant night. And then within a week of that, everything, the world just shifted suddenly. And then it was like, whoa. And then everything just completely fucking slipped off the wheels.
Because with this Mary Lou Henner disease, I think you guys went out on that Thursday before. And then we closed everything on Tuesday. I think it was close.
It was in February that I went
out. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, a couple weeks before. But it was happening. We just didn't know it was happening.
I opted not to go to the birthday, which was on the second week of March.
That was, yes.
Because everything was closing.
That, yes.
And I was like, I don't want to go on BART. I'm afraid I'm going to get this fucking thing. So anyway, yeah. So that's crazy. This year's almost gone. I heard, Christmas music playing on the radio. It was like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And I was like, there's something wrong with this music. There's something wrong with this station, ma'am. It's playing Christmas music. It's July.
Yeah, but right here I have Christmas with the Jets sitting right next to me.
Well, I was also buying a 101 Dalmatians Christmas ornament. So I don't know if I was in any position to complain about the choice of music.
That's super cute though, that little ornament.
It really is. It's one of the puppies. I don't know which one. They all look the same. They're all, here's the thing about Dalmatian puppies. They don't have spots.
But in the movie they do.
I don't know. Do they? But they don't have spots.
That might be a movie I watched today.
Explain that.
Wait, did you just watch the live action one?
I did. I watched the first one.
I've never seen that.
It's good. I've watched both now. The 101 Dalmatians with Glenn Close and 102 Dalmatians. They're very. It's it's Jeff Bridges, so it's.
Isn't it Hugh Laurie?
No.
Oh.
Not in the first one. No, it's not Jeff Bridges. It's what's his name? Yeah, Jeff Daniels.
Oh, Jeff Daniels.
It's Jeff Daniels. Yeah, it's Jeff Daniels and some British lady, and it's very adorable, and the dogs are cute. I don't think they don't make the dogs talk and all that kind of shit.
So it's Jolie Richardson, and Jolie Richardson is Vanessa Redgrave's daughter.
Oh.
And then her older sister was Natasha Richardson.
I wish my last name was Redgrave.
Tom Redgrave.
Yes.
His good name.
Thomas Redgrave. I'm changing my name right now.
But Natasha Richardson was married to Liam Neeson, and she died about 14, 15 years ago when they were on a ski vacation. She just fell and died.
Aww.
And she was an actress, Tony-winning actress, very well known. But yeah, Jolie Richardson, and she's a good actress too. I like her. And she's kind of the... She's probably not that funny, so it's,
yeah, she's the straight, yeah, yeah. They're like he's
but you
sort
need
of
that.
He's sort of the nerdy. I feel like I've just been talking about Disney movies this whole time, but yeah. Anyway, it's a cute movie.
Okay, so Hugh Laurie is in it. I don't know in what capacity. Dr. House. Do you know Hugh Laurie?
Oh, I'm sorry. He plays a bad guy.
He's a bad
along
guy.
Along with
got it.
Another great bad guy. Damn it.
Mark Williams
from
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter
is the dad,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. The Weasley. He's so good.
The Weasley dad.
He's really great. I love him. I've seen him in a bunch of stuff now, and I'm like, oh, he's like a character actor that I had certain character actors I just love, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's
he's great.
The appeal of a character
actor. He's great. The other thing I wanted to mention, if it's cool, is that I've been making music on my little music app,
yes!
Which is like cheating, right? It's sort of like it's like the CGI of like music making. And so I don't really like post this stuff, but there's this app called Splash that my nephew was playing last week.
Oh, is that how you found out?
Yeah, my nephew's like, hey, I want to play this song for you that I made. And I was like, oh, okay, sure, dude. And then he like hits play on this thing. And I was like, wait, you made that? He's like, yeah. And I was like, how did you make that? And he's like, oh, it's this app. And I was like, oh, show it to me. Come here for a second. Show Uncle Tommy this app. And so it's this cool like music making app with full of samples and stuff, and you can create beats and pre-recorded synths and things like that. So it's not technically, I'm not like creating this music. Basically, I'm doing, here's what I'm doing.
But you're piecing it together.
I am doing what I do with records with sound samples. Mm-hmm. So I, with records, right, I take pre-recorded music and I I put them together to create other songs, and I put them together to create soundscapes. That's what I'm doing with this music app. And this is just kind of a stupid app. It's, you know, like, oh, how to, you know, get followers and blah, blah. No, I'm just here to make the fucking music. I don't care about anything. I'm just here to make the music. And I have been having so much fun with it. I'll just take a little, you know, a little puff, and then I'll just sit there and I'll just... and I'll make these cool little songs.
You've made a couple of really cool ones. Now, the cool thing about this is Tom can play something for you now because he created it. It's his material.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. And we're going to make one for the podcast talking about the evolution of the podcast.
Here's a little bit. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
I like made that with my mouth. I mean, and so it's like, I'll just sit there.
But it's so fun because he'll send me something and I'll look at Brendan and say, it's going to break. It's going to break.
Yeah. And so, you know, like, I just really enjoy it.
You should see me dancing right now. And you're getting so much out of it. Like, it's time consuming, but it's also something you like.
It's something I like. It's also something that, you know... Being a DJ and spinning electronic music for coming up, you know, the better part of almost 30 years now, I'm working on, this is year 28 of me being a DJ, of me spinning vinyl, and the whole entire time spinning electronic music. Other things, too, that I love. But electronic music really being the one continuous format of music that is me. And I can't make electronic music. I can't make it. I don't have the time, the mental capacity. I do so many things with photography and filmmaking and my writing projects and my Disney stuff and my various Instagram pages and making mixes and playing guitar and the bookstore and all of the things that I do. I have so many things that I do that I love. And it's just been one thing I've never been able to, like, squeeze in is to take the time to learn how to create this music that I love. And so having this opportunity to, like, fiddle around with other people's music again in a different format has been very, very, very good for me. And it's opened my mind creatively. And it's allowed me to record, you know, little tiny bits of songs. And then I get to keep those songs and I get to use them.
You made a really cool Halloween.
Yeah, I made it like, there's like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of sounds.
And so there's thousands and thousands of different ways that you can put those sounds together. And you have been sparked. Like there's something new to you this week because there's a creative thing that you get to do.
Well, it all happened on the same day I got the glasses. So... I don't know, something I just felt a little bit different. I was feeling really blue last week, you know, okay, but like blue and like, I'm still not feeling like 100%, but at least, I don't know, I feel lucky to have so many outlets creatively. And I really love my new glasses. They make me feel really good. They make me feel handsome. So when I walk and I put my glasses on, I'm like, I feel handsome again. Like those other glasses, they just didn't fit my style. And they made me feel ugly and they made me feel gross and old. Speaking of which, I'm losing a bunch of hair in the front. I'm not sure why, but it's gotten worse and worse. So I got to find out what's happening here. It's all been within like the last few weeks.
But your gray streak looks so good though.
My gray streak, it's called a Malin streak.
Your Malin streak looks
so good. It's coming in real nice.
Some people call it a Malin streak.
Malin.
All right. Let's move on to a regular segment of the show. If the people don't get it, they riot. And it's called Hank's Record Corner. Hi, everybody.
Hi, all right, welcome back.
So here's my thing about Hank's Record.
Sorry.
Here's my thing about Hank's Record Corner this week. Once again, it is an anniversary. So 30 years ago, about right now, in the next 4 or 5 days, I heard, and then I saw every single song on this album that I want to talk about, and it is Kate Bush, The Sensual World. And she released this record and then also released one of the first VHS albums, and it contains every, they made a video for every song on this album.
Oh, wow.
And this record hit me in a very significant way. It was the first Christmas that I was away from my family. It was the first holidays that I had here in California, over in Capitola. And I was very sad, and I was very lonely, and I was struggling with, like, being a 20-year-old kid and being an adult, being in a relationship, being in a gay relationship, my first relationship, and a relationship with someone who was 15 years older than I was. So, and I was trying so hard to be what that person was, mm-hmm. because that was a gay person. That was the gay person that I knew.
That was your gay friend.
Yeah.
Your one gay friend.
Yeah, who was my, at that point, lover. That was still a word. When I first came out, lover is how you described your partner in a gay relationship 30 years ago. Mm. It just wasn't that long ago.
Well, let's bring it back.
The other day, a lady thought we were lovers.
Everyone does. Every single person does. I'm like, well, there's nothing I can do about it. And I heard you try to save it. You were like, well, we don't live together. She was like, oh, you're a couple that lives in separate houses. And I was like, no, man.
He's a straight man.
I wear the earring in my right ear.
Do you not see that? So Sensual World being the big one, and this video is her in a Renaissance type outfit with that hat, like a crown hat almost, with the scarf going from one side to the other, and it's burgundy and it's long and heavy velvet, and she's walking, and then surrounded by, are they called whirling dervishes? The Sufis. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And surrounded by them singing this Sensual World song. And I was like, I'm in. I'm totally in. And then it has this woman's...
Have you mentioned the name of this record or the artist?
Yeah, Kate Bush, the Sensual World. No, I didn't. Like 2 minutes ago.
Okay.
But so...
Sometimes I zone out for a few minutes. And just...
Oh, I know. Then there's...
Anyway, I love this Morrissey record. Keep going.
It ends on side two with this woman's work, which is... a song that was in a movie in the 80s called She's Having a Baby. Mm. It was a Chris Columbus movie.
The guy who discovered America?
Who now we have no longer Columbus Day.
Yay, goodbye, dummy.
So it was this young couple, Kevin Bacon and Elizabeth, is it Elizabeth Montgomery? She was in Downton Abbey. Anyway, but they lose the baby
that's
at the end.
Bewitched.
Yes, that's Bewitched. You're right. What's her name? No, but I'll come up with it. But they lose the baby. And during the whole scene where he's going to the hospital to be with his wife, they play this woman's work. And it is heartbreaking and horrible. And then a R&B guy, like 10 years ago, did a cover of it and had a humongous hit with it and sang it all in falsetto.
I probably hear it at the thrift store. There's like 100 songs on the radio that they play at the thrift store.
And I'm sure they do. And it's Maxwell is his name. But anyway, record, this is another record that I can't find. It's really only the reissued ones that we can find.
Yeah.
Much like the Tears for Fears. And they're like $30. And I've just never wanted to spend that much money. But I found it on eBay by this seller. Yeah. For like... not half that, I think.
The import CDs seller on eBay is a good one for finding good deals.
Yeah.
That's where I got your White Lies record and a lot of those cool post-punk records that I can't find anywhere. That's where I get them. So.
Yeah, you got to shop in a different way now, and eBay's a great way to do it. And, you know, you think about, well, yeah, but that's all they do. And this guy, he has hundreds of records and he sells them. Yeah, it's like an independent record store, mm-hmm. but he's just trying to, like, do something.
I mean, I just sold our 170th DVD in my Disney DVD shop.
And it broke.
That I opened with my sister.
And it broke how much, right? Didn't you break
it? It's over $1,000. I mean, that's everything, right? That doesn't include fees and all that kind of stuff. But like, the overall amount. That includes shipping and all that stuff. So it broke $1,000. So we're going to get a top rated seller badge. My sister and I created the shop. And so we'll get the top rated seller badge next month.
And that's another thing that you enjoy.
Yeah, that's another thing that I do that I love.
And it's creative. You have to take photos and package them really well and do them with the details that you would do anything with.
Yeah, and it's also educational for me too, because when I am listing these items, I'm also going through and writing down. I'm also going through and learning, you know, who did the music, who the director was, you know, when the film was released. Things like that I add in the small details. Not everyone adds those details in, but I take the time to do that. And so I see the same names pop up over and over again. Joel McNeely does a ton of music for Pixar, for example. Like all these names that I didn't know before that I now recognize. John Lasseter obviously is a name that I see come up all the time when I'm doing Disney stuff. Yeah. So anyway, it's been interesting. It's been educational to learn, and then also to learn about the culture of DVD collecting. And then within that is Disney DVD collecting, and realizing that there's people all over the world that collect all kinds of weird shit. And so I know a guy in Brazil now who collects Disney DVDs from around the world. And so different packaging, different artwork, stuff in different languages. And so I started finding those things too, and I started picking them up just for the education and knowledge of it, because I love it so much. But yeah, I'm pretty awesome. I don't know what else. Is there anything else anyone wants me to say about myself?
Hey, who doesn't want someone who thinks that they're awesome? You just want to go and like stare at somebody? No.
No. I don't know. Do you have anything else to say?
I mean, sure.
Like what? Well, this better be good.
Well, here's one thing I want to say. Because
Are you as impressed as I am about my Heather Fleckenflump impression?
Have we talked about it?
Perhaps too many times.
Have we really?
Yeah.
That Tom incessantly does a Feather Langerkamp.
Here's the thing.
He does a Heather Langerkamp impression from the original Nightmare on Elm Street. And I can see, even with the fucking mask on, I can't even look at his face right now. Even with a mask on, when we're in public or whatever, I can see that he's just raring up to do it, because I can see the shape of his fucking face change, because he's like, wait a second, Johnny Depp. And and right away I'll say, Feather, I can't.
It's sort of a weird inside joke that leaks out sometimes.
Yeah, like Rudy Giuliani's brains leaking out of his ear.
So wait, there was a fly that landed on the dead guy.
No, he's not dead. Mike Pence.
He's not fucking dead. Mike Pence is alive.
The vice president of the United States.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's alive.
I don't think so. I don't fucking think so. Flies don't land on fucking live people like that and chill out on their fucking heads. You have to be dead. The other thing is that live people, living people, don't have black ink coming out of their fucking ears. You know what that shit is? Did anybody here ever see
the Ron Popeil.
It's the
spray hair.
They say it's not.
Then what is it?
Experts in New Zealand say it's not. I read all the tabloids this morning.
Oh my God.
Your fake news.
His fucking hair
spray. No, the black liquid, it's the black ink that's in the Prometheus. Oh, in the Alien movie.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. These people aren't alive. Holy Jesus.
He's had a particularly bad couple of weeks, old Rudy. He's really had a rough couple of PR things happen.
He's making $20,000 a day from Donald Trump. Is paying him $20,000 a day. Mm-hmm. I was like, what?
To be a little bulldog.
To get nowhere.
And he's not very... No, because it's starting to look worse and worse.
Like, at some point, he's going to also just be like, What's that scene in that movie with the guy with the nose and the cowboy hat? Wildcat. What's that?
My head hurts from that.
The Royal Tannenbaums, and they're interviewing him, And they're like, tell us about Wildcat, the film.
Sweet. And he's like,
the guy, what's his name? I love him.
It's not Owen Wilson.
Owen Wilson. And so he's like, Wilson. He's like sitting there and he's like, Wildcat. Wildcat. Then he just goes like this. Oh, and he gets up and walks away.
Oh my God.
That's how I feel about that.
So here's the other thing I have to say. We're leading into Thanksgiving and the December holidays, your Hanukkahs, your Kwanzaas, your Christmases, your other things. And I just need you to stay home.
Yeah.
Okay? We live in California, but I know that states all over the country have shut down, which is, here's the interesting thing. They're shutting down on Monday. Mm. So it's like, go out for the weekend when it's really raging mm-hmm. and everything's really horrible.
Yeah.
Go get all that stuff done on the weekend. Go buy all your toilet paper and alarmist bullshit. And then on Monday, you can't go anywhere. That way you can all be sick in your own home because you're going to go out this weekend.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Just don't, there's no need. You can go out and you can go shopping safely and you can do those things safely if your state has not been shut down. If you wear your mask and you wash your hands and you do hand sanitizer, but just don't have a huge, if you have a few people in your pod like we do, right? We have a few people in our pod that we've all been together and we can stay together and, you know, we'll have a small Thanksgiving, but don't do like over 8. You don't like your family anyway.
I don't like
I'm
mine.
Not talking to you. I'm talking
my family's
to,
great.
To in general.
But yeah, I agree. Don't be stupid.
Don't be stupid because people are being stupid. And you know what? If there's anyone to tell you about stupid, it's us.
I'm sorry. I'm drawing a patch on a tire on this skeleton unicycle I've been drawing over here.
It's a good tire, though. Thanks. Good tire, though. wait, there aren't... hold on. Everybody. Oh, there's a new Animaniacs on Netflix that apparently everyone is crazy about.
They are crazy about it. They are crazy about it. Yeah, my friend Cece...
like the funniest thing.
Completely bananas. She said that show, like, saved her life. I was like, wow, people are really... I didn't realize that people are really... loyal to the show. I don't know. I've never seen it, so I don't really know it.
But. I've never seen the old ones, but these are brand new ones, and apparently they're like for people in their 40s, you know, 30s, 40s, and 50s, and it is definitely an adult. It's for kids, but it's an adult skewing thing, and it has a lot to do with what the world is, you know, and just like, or helping you take away what is going on in the world, I should say, and is funny and, you know, absurd and acidic and all of those things. So I can't wait to watch an episode. Everyone is just going crazy over it. They're going Animaniac over it.
They really are. It's the flavor. It's the Animaniacs. It's the food that's take America by craze.
I thought you were going to say it's the flavor flave of cartoon shows.
It really is.
The flavor flave of Oh God, I used to watch that show. I used to watch The Flavor of Love.
Do you think anyone ever asked him what time it is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just, and it was
and
white
think
guys.
He looked and he picked up his clock and he was like, it's
12:30.
12:30. And they're like, thanks.
But it was like white guys who were like, yeah, and thinking it was the best thing ever.
So I'm probably going to make a mix tonight. So if anybody is.
If you're going to be looking for a mix on the old IG.
Yeah. You know, I only posted 15 minutes of them, though, because, one, that's as long as you can post a video on Instagram that's not an Instagram Live. And I don't like to do an Instagram Live right now. One, I feel like it's invasive. Two, I don't want a bunch of people staring at me while I'm DJing. If I did, I'd be a DJ in a club right now. Oh, but I can't. So it's the next best thing.
But you like making your mixes.
I like making my mixes, and I like making them with no context besides me and the records.
And you get
in
very
fact,
into
you know
it.
What? I realized one of the records I played on one of my mixes a couple weeks ago was really interesting. I didn't really notice it at first, but when I went back to listen to it, it was interesting to hear the sample of a woman saying, the DJ, the music, and me. The DJ, the music, and me. And I was like, ah, I love that. I love that. I love that.
Was it to the tune of Rainbow Connection? The DJ,
the music, DJ, the
and
music
me. I watched that movie a couple weeks ago, and I was it was horrific. Yeah.
If you can make it through the first 5 seconds, if you make it to that last dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink note and you are not already bawling, then you know what happens? A fly is going to land on your head and fucking liquid's going to come out of your ear. You're a dead man. You're a dead body.
Because here's the thing. It moves in and it says Warner Brothers Entertainment and it's moving in on a swamp and then it goes a dink a dink dink.
But it's like through the clouds too,
through
right?
The clouds.
It's like through the clouds.
And right when they go through a cloud, it's the banjo starts. And the moment the banjo started, it was heaving tears. And then you go in and he's...
Why is there so many
songs about rainbows? And aww, what's on the other side?
It's so sad.
It's so good, though.
It's so sad. You know what?
And it was right after I lost Baxter, and I was thinking of the little rainbow bridge thing, which, by the way, do not recite the rainbow bridge thing to me when you see me in person. Don't do that.
I think... there would have been a better soundtrack to Greyfriars Bobby if they had that in there.
Well, I would love to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving, and we are thankful for you. I know you're thankful for us. How couldn't you be? Mm-hmm. And but happy Thanksgiving, and celebrate it with people you love, but only a couple, and be really smart right now.
I would like to wish everyone that too, but I'm not going to.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm not going to waste my time, but I would like to do that.
Do you know what I want to do on Thanksgiving? Hmm. I'm saying this on the podcast, which doesn't mean we have to do it. I think we should do a live.
That sounds terrible.
Okay.
I'll be watching the game, bro.
No, you won't be. Yeah, you don't even know what the game is.
I do. It's the fucking...
What badminton team is playing what badminton team?
What if you took a chumpy... bro, and you mixed it with Heather Langenkamp, and you got like, no. Johnny Depp, here's the thing.
No.
Freddie, you're gonna come get your fucking hat, dude. Anyway, all right, that's it. I'm out. I'm done.
And that's the other thing. Every time he does a Feather Langenkamp thing, it always ends with, and then my mom found Freddie's hat at a thrift store.
Here's what happened. Here's the thing. Here's what happened is one night, I may have had like a couple glasses of champagne. I got into it. I was like staring into the mirror. I got into this whole entire thing for like 15 minutes where I had like this whole story and I was talking to myself in the mirror. This is what happens when you live by yourself.
Oh my gosh.
This is why I need a girlfriend. I was talking, I don't need a girlfriend to hear me do my Heather Langenkamp impression. She'll be like, bye. That's really cute.
But what if she does a Freddie impression back to you, or better yet, a Johnny Depp impression?
And stabs me with knives. That seems to.
We're having a lot of fun.
Very typical. I wouldn't be surprised.
That is your type.
But you made me forget what I was saying. With your comedy.
You were in the mirror doing your...
Oh, yeah. And so this whole thing where I went on and on about how she was trying to explain to Johnny Depp that Freddie was this guy who had a hat and he got it at the thrift store and it was his favorite hat. And then his mom killed him in a fire. But she took his hat. And so he came back and he was like, I'm just here for the hat. I don't want any trouble. And she was like, you're not getting it. And then she's like, I donated it to the Goodwill. And so then he goes to the Goodwill and he's like, hey, I'm Freddy Krueger and I had this hat. And it was my favorite hat and I wore it all the time. And then this lady caught my house on fire and she burned this place down. I didn't kill the kids. I didn't kill them. And it was like 20 minutes of this shit. And I was like crying. I was laughing so hard. And then I stopped and looked at myself in the mirror and I went, you need some help, buddy. And I went and laid down. And then I went and laid down.
Like and went into a dream.
And fell asleep. I woke up and my hat was gone. All right, I love you guys.
We love you guys.
Stay awesome.
Stay rad.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
It's 107.
So hot. Okay, bye. Okay, bye.